Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into another episode of Two Peas, your favorite peas. Gerald is here, and I am one of the peas, but I am being joined by a first-timer today. First-time guest to Two Peas on a podcast. I'm so excited to have her. We've been chatting online for several months, and we've been on another show together with our friend Josh Hallmark. We went on together and guested on his playlist show, but I've never had her on here, so let's say hello to Haley. Haley Gray, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm so excited. We had some technical difficulties hooking up today, but we finally got it worked out, and here we are. I'm so excited to have you on the peas. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, and sorry about that. It's the story of my life.
Don't worry about it. There's always something when you try to link up with guests, but we were able to get together, which is the important thing. So we do a top five show here today. Me and Haley are the two peas today. What are we counting down today, Haley? How would you describe this list? What's the topic?
The top five most badass women.
In film, movie women. You have to say movie women.
Oh,
just
my
badass
bad.
Women, you might be on the list.
Oh, that's true. I don't know. Yeah, movie women.
Yeah, so top five badass movie women. And I wanted to bring, obviously, a badass woman along to help me do this countdown. Now, our friend over in Australia, Gidget Von LaRue, was supposed to be on this episode, but she's in Australia, and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning over there, so her and I are going to link up and do another episode later, and it's also going to be woman-centric, so I'll have Gidget on for that. So I'm so sorry she could not be here for this one. We love Gidget, but we will have her on again soon. Me and Haley are going to give our top five badass movie women today. Haley, when you were coming up with your list and doing your research, so to speak, how was it for you? Was this an easy list to compile for you? How deep did you have to dig here?
I think it was hard because I had too many on the list and I had to narrow it down. But I did have to do some Googling because my mind went blank. So I looked up some women and then that kind of sparked my thinking and I came up with some others.
Now, I know you used to do the Murder Road Trip podcast back in the day, and how would you categorize yourself as far as like a film buff? Would you say you're a film buff, or are you just kind of a casual viewer?
Well, I actually used to do, I used to be a movie critic for a local radio station.
Perfect.
But I would not call myself a movie buff because I'm afraid that if I do, I'll make a fool of myself.
Yeah, I should probably be careful calling myself that too, but I do call myself that, in a cinephile. I'm going to the movies all the time. I started loving the movies back in the 80s, and even older films I'm a big fan of too. So I kind of pulled, you know, I just came up with 10 total ones here, and I'll give my honorable mentions later that round out my top 10, but I just gave kind of the first women that just kicked ass in film that came to mind for me, and I kind of stuck with it. You know, ordering them was a little bit hard. I didn't know where to put 5 and 3 and 1 and so on. You know, it's kind of ordering them was a little tough, but I do feel good about the 10 that I have here. So if you're ready, Haley, I'm going to let you get us started. You're a first time guest. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm going to let you start us off with your top five. So what's your number five badass movie women?
All right. So my number five is Rosie from Jojo Rabbit. She was played by Scarlett Johansson.
Someday you'll meet someone special.
Why does everyone keep telling me that?
Who else tells you that?
Everyone. Anyway, it's a stupid idea.
You're stupid. Love is the strongest thing in the world.
I think you'll find that metal is the strongest thing in the world, followed closely by dynamite and then muscles. Besides, I wouldn't even know it if I saw it.
Surprise, surprise. Your shoelace is undone again. Oh, Jojo. You'll know when it happens. will feel it. It's a pain.
My ass, I bet.
In your tummy. Like you're full of butterflies.
Yuck.
Yeah, yuck. Come on, Shitla. Let's get the move on.
What? Hey!
What's wrong with you? I'm worried about you, man. Are you drunk? Again?
A new one.
Yeah, she's not like an action star in this movie, but no. There's kind of a spoiler ahead on this. I tried not to give too much away, but basically Rosie risks her life to protect Jewish people while living in mm-hmm. Nazi Germany during World War II. And she basically harbors a Jewish girl in the walls of her house, even though she knows she would be hung if anyone found out. And I just think that's so badass that she would risk her life to help Jewish people who are being wrongly persecuted.
Yeah, no doubt. And not only that, I mean, her own son, her own 10-year-old boy who lives in the house with her is really conflicted. And he, you know, has Hitler as an imaginary friend, which provides a little bit of comedy to that story. That was a great movie. That was one of my favorite movies of the year last year. So interesting pick. I'm excited that ScarJo's getting some love, and I'm excited that a new movie is getting some love. So Rosie from Jojo Rabbit is your number five. Good pick. All right, so I'm going to pull up my list here. So my number five is a movie that I'm not sure that you've seen or that a lot of people have seen, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to mention it today, because I feel like they should see it. Now, this woman does kick ass. It's a movie that came out in 2018. It's a French film called Revenge. So the title character's name is Jen, which is short for Jennifer. And it's kind of a supernatural story. It's like almost like a horror movie. It's a horror action film, really. But she is a victim of, she goes on this vacation. Have you seen Revenge by chance?
I haven't.
Okay. So do you know what I'm talking about though?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, it's cool. It's underseen. A lot of people don't. And I wanted to kind of pump it up a little bit, especially from like a female empowerment kind of standpoint. But anyway, she goes on this vacation with her boyfriend, right? And by the way, spoilers for this film that came out a couple of years ago, if you haven't seen it and you want to. But anyway, I won't give away the end or whatever, but just a general plot is she goes on this vacation with her boyfriend, and these two friends of his come to visit at this like house that they rented or whatever. And to make a long story short, she ends up becoming a victim to kind of like a gang rape between her boyfriend that she trusted and these two dudes that he, you know, let infiltrate the home there. So obviously he was not trustworthy and he's a bad guy. And she gets thrown off a cliff to her death so that she'll keep quiet from this crime or whatever. And that's when the kind of supernatural stuff goes into effect. And she basically comes back to life and wreaks havoc on these three dudes. So, you know, the last hour of the film is just her literally getting revenge and kicking ass. And there's some awesome kills in this movie from a horror perspective. And it's just really cool to see her get her revenge. And the last scene of this film, man, when she confronts her boyfriend, who was, of course, the culprit of the whole kind of storyline, is just awesome. I mean, the house is just covered in blood in that scene, and she's basically stalking him through the home, and he's on the run, so he's the victim. So obviously, tragedy befell her, but it's really cool to see her kind of come up from the ashes and get revenge. So Jen from Revenge, which is a 2018 film, is my number five. I know you haven't seen it, so you probably don't have any commentary on it.
It sounds really good, though. It sounds like something my husband would like, so I'm going to tell him about it.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's good, and I'll have all the info online as well once the episode comes out. So that's my number five. That swings us back over to you, Haley, for your number four badass movie woman. Who is it?
All right. So I picked Professor McGonagall from the Harry Potter series.
Okay.
I think the obvious pick is Hermione, but I wanted to do something different. So basically, Professor McGonagall is a member of the Order of the Phoenix. She's a group, which is a group of wizards that are fighting against Voldemort. And I just love how much she stands up for what's right. She stands up to this really awful headmaster, Dolores Umbridge. She takes charge of Hogwarts even when Voldemort's men have taken over. So the scariest men, I guess, in the universe, she's standing up to. And she even takes over the school against the men. And this whole time, she's 70 years old. She's been injured, and she keeps fighting against Voldemort's men, and she even fights Voldemort. So I just think that's so great.
Let me get this straight, Professor. You're actually giving us permission to do this.
That is correct, Longbottom.
To blow it up. Boom.
Boom.
Wicked. But how on earth are we going to do that?
Why don't you confer with Mr. Finnegan? As I recall, he has a particular proclivity for pyrotechnics.
I can bring it down.
That's the spirit. Now, where you go?
You do realize, of course,
We can't keep up you-know-who indefinitely.
That doesn't mean we can't delay him. And his name is Voldemort. Phileas, you might as well use it. He's going to try to kill you either way. Pier totum locomotor!
Yeah, it is cool. You know, you're going to be mad at me, and a lot of people are. I just never got into Harry Potter.
I should end this podcast now.
Are you going to hang up? Are you going to hang up? I feel like, didn't we talk about this when we went on playlist too? I feel like this got brought up, and you guys kind of were like, what? It's not that I don't want to. I just missed it. You know what I mean? And now there's like 50 movies, so I just am behind. I feel like I will catch it. I have two young sons, so I feel like as they get of age and they start kind of getting into some of the fantasy writing and whatnot, that I might use that as an opportunity to jump on board and kind of, you know, play catch up.
Yeah.
I just haven't. I'm just way behind on it. I never got into it. Same thing with Lord of the Rings. I never got into that either.
Oh,
and everybody, I know, everybody ridicules me about those two things, which I accept. I understand because it's a pop culture thing. So Professor McGonagall in Harry Potter, who's that portrayed by? Did you mention that?
Maggie Smith.
Oh, Maggie Smith. Okay. She's in Downton Abbey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, perfect. Well, I love her. So she's definitely badass. All right. I'm sorry. Don't be mad, Haley. I will... We'll get on the Harry Potter homework as soon as possible.
Okay.
Especially since you picked it today.
Okay.
You can count on me. All right. So my number four might be a little controversial because I'm picking a female from this franchise and not the probably most popular pick from the franchise. In fact, the most popular pick, kind of like what you were saying with Hermione, got a lot of shout outs online, but this particular female did not. I'm picking Rey from the Star Wars, the new trilogy of Star Wars, portrayed by Miss Daisy Ridley. Are you a Star Wars fan, Haley?
I actually like Lord of the Rings more.
No, that's cool. Yeah, sure. But have you seen the new trilogy of Star Wars with Rey and Kylo?
I haven't, but I'm very aware. I grew up watching the old movies.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And that's what I was mentioning with Princess Leia, which is not on my list, but she got a ton of shout outs online. And I do love Princess Leia, but I think what happened with Rey is that they really, because we're in a new era now where it's empowerment and, you know, women kind of taking the lead. And, you know, Leia never really took that lead role. She was always kind of behind Han Solo and even Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. But Rey is the lead. You know, her and Kylo Ren really drove the new trilogy and drove that narrative forward all the way up to the recent film, which is The Rise of Skywalker, and how that kind of came to a head there. But I mean, I just loved it too, because, and I've talked about this before on this show when we mentioned Star Wars in the past, how we're talking 30, 40 years of Star Wars material. And it took that long to have a woman really be the heroine, you know, and really kick ass. And Rey did that when she called for the lightsaber in The Force Awakens. You know, it gave me chills, and I'm not even a woman. So, you know, I can imagine young women watching it, how that would have felt, because it was all, you know, it was very heavily saturated with male dominance in that franchise. You know what I mean? And Daisy Ridley came along. She's an amazing actress, and the action was top notch, and she really did kick ass in that new trilogy. And some of the best lightsaber battles in all of Star Wars involve Rey. So that's why she's my number four, Miss Daisy Ridley as Rey from the Star Wars franchise. My number four. All right. So you like the old Star Wars. You said you haven't really gotten to the new ones yet, though, huh?
Yeah, I'm a terrible person.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Let's make a deal. I'll do Harry Potter. You do the new Star Wars.
Okay. I think my husband would love that.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, no problem. All right, what's your number three over there, Haley?
Okay, so now this is when it got really hard for me to rank them. I'm going to go with Mulan from the movie Mulan.
Hey, she's on my honorable mentions.
Oh, awesome.
Good pick. Yeah, go ahead, talk about it.
So my sister and I loved this movie growing up. We saw it in the movie theater. We had the costumes, which would now be cultural appropriation, but we loved it so much. So basically, when Mulan's elderly father is supposed to go to war, she takes his armor, and then she even cuts off her hair so she can look like a boy. And I just thought that was so powerful, the scene where she's willing to protect her father so much that she cuts off her beautiful hair and goes and lives as a man.
Right.
And
which is saying a lot in itself. I mean, that's a message within itself, you know?
Yeah, it would be so hard to cut off my hair. And it's not even that pretty.
Right.
And Mulan has the best song of all time, which is Let's Get Down to Business. And you just see her start as a struggling warrior, and then all the men are, you know, treating her horribly because she's not strong and all this stuff. And then basically she gets the courage to get it all together, and then she helps the other men. And I just love it so much. And not to mention the fact that she saves the whole kingdom from the Huns.
Right, right. This is going to come out... Actually, it'll come out before the remake is released, but you saw they're doing the live action remake that's coming out in May, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for that. You know, I'm not a big fan of the Disney remakes thus far, the live action ones, but I feel like Mulan, the trailers that I've seen and the clips, I mean, it looks like almost like a war epic. Have you seen the trailer for the new Mulan?
Yeah, I definitely think that they're taking a more realistic approach to Mulan. Right. And there's not going to be any music, which I will never forgive them for. But it does make sense to not have Mulan be a musical.
True, true. And then the talking dragon and all that stuff. I mean, I get it. I mean, I am going to miss that stuff because it's so nostalgic. But I just don't like when Disney does that with Lion King and Aladdin, where it's like shot by shot. It's like, you know, what you already know, but just a different type of visual, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I do like that they're taking the base story and maybe making it a little bit more historically accurate, but it's still going to obviously be a very similar parallel to what we're familiar with. So I like what I've seen, and I, you know, the first trailer I saw gave me chills. So I'm ready to see that remake. And that actually is number 6 on my list, so it's my first honorable mention that I was going to be discussing later. So nice job there. Mulan is your number 3. All right, so my number 3, some people might consider low, and I don't know if this is going to show up on your list later, but my number 3 is The Bride from the Kill Bill movies, portrayed by Uma Thurman.
It's not my intention to do this in front of you. For that, I'm sorry. But you can take my word for it. Your mother had it coming. When you grow up, if you still feel raw about it,
She was my next one on the list, so.
Okay, so we can talk about it together then, okay. Real quick. But yeah, she's my number 3. I mean, talk about a revenge story I was mentioning earlier with the movie Revenge. But I mean, this is just a pure, I mean, the hell that she went through, you know, being left for dead, but also her family being killed. She was pregnant with her child, who we find out, spoilers for anyone that may not have seen Kill Bill, it's been 10 years, but, you know, she thought that her child was lost as well. And the first movie is like, you know, action. I mean, it's just her like kicking ass. Do you know what I mean? It's just her taking care of business and getting back all the people that wronged her, if you will. And the second half of the movie is very much more like introspective, like her on a quest to kind of reconnect with the daughter that she thought she lost, and ultimately coming face to face with Bill, who's at the helm of all this stuff. And just, I mean, I know it's obviously fiction and it's Tarantino, but if you can put yourself in the mindset of a woman going through those types of situations, losing your family, and the revenge that you're seeking out, I mean, it's just tremendous. And, you know, he wrote this for Uma Thurman, and you can tell, I mean, she is the bride. You know, she portrays it perfectly. What did you want to say about the Kill Bill films and why you chose it?
So pretty much I just want to, you know, reiterate everything you said. And then not to mention the fact that she was raped and prostituted out while she was in a coma in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
crazy, yeah.
This woman has just been everything bad in the world you can imagine. And then she just, like, it's just such a good revenge story, like you said. And plus, I love anything with Lucy Liu, so.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome. Oren Ishii, yeah. She could have been on this list, too. I mean, she's a villain, but she could have been on this list.
Yeah, and a lot of Lucy Liu's characters could be on the list, I think. I just love
her. Yeah, she's a badass movie woman for sure. I agree. So that was your number 2, you said, right?
Yes.
All right, so that was my number 3. That was your number 2, The Bride from the Kill Bill films. Real quick, let's just have a quick discussion. What, Kill Bill 1 or 2, or do you see him as one full thing? What's your preference?
I like number one more just because I think it's more of like full of action. I think number two gets into Tarantino's like it's not an order kind of thing.
Yeah, and super chatty as well.
Yeah, but if you look at them as a whole, then I think it's great.
Yeah, you know, I often do that. I often say that it's one work, but if I did have to pick, I'm with you. I think Kill Bill Volume 1 is the better film. It's just, it's shorter, it's to the point, it's action-packed. I mean, there's not a lot of downtime in Kill Bill Volume 1, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see in Kill Bill Volume 2 that Tarantino really amped up the dialogue and the witty banter and, you know, just kind of the mind games, if you will, as opposed to the physical action that we got in Volume 1. So I love them both, and as a work, it's a masterpiece, but I would have to go with Volume 1 as well. I think everybody prefers Volume 1. In fact, I got to be honest with you, I've been doing podcasts for a long time, and I have a lot of friends in the podcast world. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say they prefer Volume 2. Tweet at me if you do. I'm sure there are people that do, but I've just never heard that. So I'm with you there. All right, so that was my number three, and that was your number two. So my number two, I'll give you real quick. Haley, you may know this from listening to the show before, but I'm a huge horror fanatic. You know, Revenge, which was my number five, was kind of on the line of being somewhat of a horror film. But this is definitely a horror franchise. And not only is it a horror franchise, it's my favorite. You know, if you look at the kind of horror icons that exist out there, this is my number one horror icon. I'm looking at memorabilia of his that I have in my glass case in front of me right now. And the most recent iteration of this is really why this woman thrust herself onto this list for me. But it's Laurie Strode from the Halloween franchise, which is portrayed by Jamie Lee Curtis. How are you on horror movies? Are you a horror fan?
I used to love horror movies when I was a teenager. And as an adult, I'm like, no, thank you.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, my husband thinks it's... I feel like I'm talking about him a lot. But my husband thinks it's interesting that I can research terrible things all day. But when it comes to any type of movie, I get fictional, really scared. Right.
It is funny, actually. He's onto something there.
Yeah.
Well,
I think what I'm about to say is controversial, but I loved Rob Zombie's Halloween. Not the second one, but I loved the first one.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I enjoyed it as well. I liked his spin on it. The second one was a piece of shit, so I'm glad to hear that you didn't like that one either. The second one was just gratuitous, just like really no plot and nothing going on, no substance to it at all. But the first one, I would say I'm a fan of as well. I mean, I thought it was a good... new kind of visionary look into the Michael Myers character and kind of his backstory and stuff like that. Almost like a prequel almost.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that one too. You know, none of them are going to, well, I mean, that's great if it's your opinion, but just so everyone out there knows, none of them are going to touch the original for me from 1978, which is when Laurie Strode premiered as a teenager, a very, very young Jamie Lee Curtis in that film. And it was a very simple concept. It was like, you know, stalking the babysitter, you know, and that's what he's doing. I mean, we don't really know why at the time. He just is kind of fascinated with the Laurie in the film and stalks her and her friends and kills some of them. And then you fast forward to the 2018 Halloween, which just came out. Did you see that a couple years ago or a year and a half ago?
I did not.
Okay, that's okay. You said you weren't into horror, so that's fine. I understand. So it's supposed to be a direct sequel from the one in 1978, so 40 years later. But Laurie Strode in this film, it's her movie, you know, and that's a feat, in my opinion, because like I said earlier, Michael Myers is a Halloween icon. I mean, he's a horror icon. I mean, any Halloween memorabilia, October, it's Michael Myers is in everyone's kind of psyche and kind of field of view. And Laurie Strode really owns that film. And this is supposed to be that character returning after 40 years. And it's her kind of redemption story. Now, they've announced they're doing two more in this kind of trilogy, which I'm thrilled about, believe me. But Halloween Kills is coming out this year. And then I believe in 2 years after that, we're going to be getting Halloween Ends. And that'll be kind of the trilogy of this new trilogy with David Gordon Green's at the helm. But Laurie Strode is just a badass, man. I mean, she basically builds a compound. And she, you know, has had gun training and fight training. And she has this kind of bunker, like hidden bunker under her house to kind of when Michael returns, she can have a quick escape. And everyone, of course, thinks she's losing her mind. But the connection that she has to this guy and that he's basically been stalking her for 40 years. I mean, imagine that. Even if he's not physically stalking her, he's been mentally kind of stalking her. And she's let it run her life. And then she kind of gets her redemption story in the new film. And it's going to play out in the next two films as well, which I'm very excited about. But Jamie Lee Curtis is an all-time scream queen, and I had to put her on here, so that's my number two, Miss Laurie Strode from the Halloween films. All right, Haley, we're getting up to our number ones here. I'm excited. You got a good list so far. What is your number one badass movie woman?
My number one is Lisbeth Salander from the Millennium series, which is most commonly known as the Girl with the Dragon.
I love it. I'm going to let you talk about it real quick. Are you a fan of like the Norwegian ones, or do you like the David Fincher version? It's a Norwegian, right? It's from Norway originally, or Sweden?
Sweden,
yeah.
So basically, I actually love the books. It's my favorite book series of all time, followed by Harry Potter. But in the movies, the Swedish movies are like almost an exact remake of the book. So I think they're really good. I also really liked the American one, the first one with Daniel Craig. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, that was the David Fincher version. I like that one a lot too. I'm a big David Fincher fan though, so that's not to be surprised. But I haven't seen anything beyond the original Swedish Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the original, and then I saw the David Fincher remake that we were just talking about, but I haven't seen any of the others. How's her arc? I mean, beyond Dragon Tattoo, because it's her in all the books, right? It's still Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. Basically, I look at the first movie and book as being completely separate. Once you get past that one, it's like she becomes this incredible woman and you see her. So basically, starting in the second book and movie, she really comes to her own, and that's when I think she really becomes badass, and it's like books 2 and 3 are their own together, and then there's actually been more books coming out after the author passed away. But in the movie, the first one, I'll just talk about that one. Basically, I think the most badass thing I've ever seen in a movie is when Lisbeth, she had a really traumatic childhood, and she's still standing, she's still able to function, albeit not like a quote normal person, but she has a new guardian, the one she loved. He couldn't be her guardian anymore, so she gets a new guardian, and he starts raping her. So Lisbeth waits a few days after he rapes her, and she went back to his apartment, and she tied him up. She does some horrible things to him, and then she takes out a tattoo gun, and she tattoos, "I am a sadistic pig, a pervert, and a rapist" on his stomach. I just think that's crazy, and I'm sure so many people would love to do that out
right
there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, stamp him with you know, what he's earned, you know, so to speak. Yeah, they reenacted that as well in the David Fincher version as well. I remember it vaguely, but I mean kind of like you said already. I mean what can you say? I mean, going through such a tough childhood and upbringing, and being able to really have a redemptive moment, but you know, you're doing it yourself. You know, nobody gave her anything; she just kind of took control herself, and that was what was really good about that character portrayed by Rooney Mara in the David Fincher version.
Mm-hmm.
You prefer the Swedish one, or you prefer the American?
You know, I actually really like both. If you want to get a feel for Lisbeth and how truly badass she is, I would watch the Swedish versions, just because you get the second and third movies, which is where she, you know, she's like crime fighting. I don't know how to explain it, but she's really great. But I really liked the David Fincher version as well. I don't know. I would, if you want to see how badass she is, I would say the Swedish version.
You lean toward the Swedish a little bit. Yeah, that's, you know, I would lean toward American personally, but that's also because I'm biased with the filmmaker.
Yeah.
I just love David Fincher. He might be my favorite filmmaker. He's probably my top three for sure. So I love his style. All right, so that's your number one, Elizabeth Salander from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. My number one is not going to surprise anyone, especially with my horror affinity, but it is Ripley from the Alien films, portrayed by Sigourney Weaver, particularly in Alien and Aliens, the sequel.
"That it resumed its course and was subsequently set for self-destruct by you for reasons unknown."
"Not for reasons unknown. I told you. We sat down there on company orders to get this thing, which destroyed my crew and your expensive ship."
"The analysis team, which went over the lifeboat centimeter by centimeter, found no physical evidence of the creature you described."
"Good. That's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
Are there any species like this hostile organism on LV-426?
No, it's a rock. No indigenous life.
Did IQs just drop sharply while I was away? Ma'am, I already said that it was not indigenous. It was a derelict spacecraft. It was an alien ship. It was not from there. Do you get it? We homed in on its beacon.
And found something never recorded once in over 300 surveyed worlds. A creature that gestates inside a living human host.
Yes.
These are your words. And has concentrated acid for blood.
That's right. Look, I can see where this is going. But I'm telling you that those things exist.
Thank you, Officer Ripley. That will be all.
Please, you're not listening to me. Kane, the crew member. Kane, who went into that ship, said he saw thousands of eggs there. Thousands.
Thank you. That will be all.
God damn it! That's not all! Because if one of those things gets down here, then that will be all. Then all this bullshit that you think is so important, you can just kiss all that goodbye.
So what about Alien or aliens? Have you seen these? Because they are scary, Haley.
I have seen Alien, and I love Sigourney Weaver. I think she's badass in everything she does.
She really is. I mean, yeah, I could have literally just picked any film off of her IMDb, and it would fit on this category. But yeah, I mean, Ripley is an all-time... I mean, we were talking about Laurie Strode a minute ago from like a Scream Queen perspective. I mean, Ripley is an all-time just horror and icon, but also just like a film icon. You know, Sigourney Weaver nails it. You know, in the first Alien, what's really cool about Ripley in general is in the first Alien, it's... you know, it is scary. It gets scary towards the latter part of the movie. I prefer the original, actually, which a lot of people prefer the sequel. But Ripley's kind of a bystander in a way, where she's just kind of observing things and kind of very quiet in the background, kind of, you know, staying in her lane, so to speak. And as the story develops and goes on throughout Ridley Scott's vision, and definitely when you get into the sequel, Aliens, Ripley has just become... you know, from kind of like quiet bystander, but to by the end of the sequel, full badass. I mean, like saving the galaxy type of arc, you know, and she just becomes a heroine. And I love that she's such a great transformation from the beginning of the original to the end of the second one. And I want to say they came out 3 or 4 years apart. So, you know, that was a long time to kind of see her develop into what she becomes and taking care of these aliens fearlessly. I mean, just fearlessly, the xenomorph, and she confronts them and, you know, like I said, saving the day. And it's just some great action sequences, especially when you think in terms of the 80s and the practical effects they had to use. So these are two of my favorite films, and Ripley is a big, big reason of that. But that's why she's my number one badass movie woman. And I'm sure anybody that listens to my show on a regular basis saw that coming from a mile away. But it was neck and neck between her and Laurie Strode. But I think Ripley is undeniable, one of the great all-time movie women. And like you said, Sigourney Weaver in general just typically kicks ass. So, all right. So that's our top fives. I tell you what, Haley, let's do a quick wrap up. Go ahead and give us your 5-1 again real quick. Just wrap it up.
All right. So Rosie from Jojo Rabbit, Professor McGonagall from the Harry Potter series, Mulan from Mulan, The Bride from the Kill Bill series, and Elizabeth Salander from the Millennium series.
All right. And my top five were Jen from the movie Revenge. And I hope everyone seeks that out, especially if you like horror action. My number four would be Rey from the Star Wars films. My number three was The Bride from the Kill Bill films. Number two was Laurie Strode from Halloween. And my number one was Ripley from the Alien films. All right. So before we head over to social media, Haley, this was a lot of fun. But before we do that, I want you to give your honorable mentions. I round out my top 10, so I'll have five here. But how many do you have there you want to give a shout out to real quick?
I have five.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica Mars. Technically, it's okay because she had a movie. Elle Woods from Legally Blonde.
Nice, nice.
Mildred from Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. And Shuri from the movie Black Panther.
Nice. All of those are great. And I'm glad we didn't have a ton of crossover because I thought about a lot of those, but I didn't put any of those in my top 10. They didn't make the cut for me. My runners up, I had Mulan at 6. So we had a little crossover there. My number 7 would have been Hit Girl from a movie called Kick-Ass.
Yes.
Young, I want to say she was 10 at the time. Chloe Grace Moretz, who's one of my favorite actresses today. So this was her first role or one of her very early roles. But she lives up to the name of that movie and to her name, Hit Girl and Kick-Ass. My number 8 would have been another young girl, Matilda from Leon the Professional, portrayed by Natalie Portman. This was Natalie Portman's first movie. I want to say she was 12 years old at the time, or roughly 12 years old. Did you ever see The Professional?
Yeah, I watched it a lot with my dad growing up.
Yeah, just badass in that. So two kind of young child kicking ass there. And then my number 9 would have been Captain Marvel, portrayed by Brie Larson in the Avengers films, but also in her own standalone film, which I thought was awesome. It was like a 90s throwback movie that I enjoyed a lot. And then my number 10 would have been Veronica from a movie called Heathers.
Oh, yeah.
Portrayed by Winona Ryder. So that rounds out my top 10. What I like to do, Haley, is I like to go over to social media and shout out some fans. So if you're cool with that, let's do that real quick.
All right.
And we'll see, give some commentary on some of these. So we'll start over on the Facebook fan page. Guys, if you have not joined up yet, that is where we interact with our fans the most. So check the show notes and please join up to the Facebook fan community. Let's see. Travis Crawford over there on the Facebook page says Ripley from Aliens, Lilo from The Fifth Element, and the Tank Girl from Tank Girl, which is Lori Petty. You seen any of those?
So I have. What was the second one again? I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Lilo from The Fifth Element. Yes. I think that's, oh God, her name's escaping
it's
me right
Mila
now.
It's Mila Jovovich. That's it.
Jovovich. Yeah.
Yeah, she was going to be, I was almost picked her Resident Evil character.
Yeah, she was great in the first Resident Evil. The other ones kind of fell off a little bit. But yeah, she's definitely a badass movie woman in general.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Joey Mills has got some staples here, but he's got Ripley, Furiosa, and Laurie Strode. There's a little love for Laurie and your Furiosa pick. He also said Sarah Connor, which I'm surprised didn't get mentioned, but Sarah Connor is Linda Hamilton from the Terminator films.
Mm-hmm.
T2 especially. I loved her in that. Aaron Tucker, a friend of mine and a fan of the page over there, has got Furiosa. Natasha Romanoff, so that's of course Black Widow, and we did have a little Scarlett Johansson love today, but I'm surprised Black Widow didn't get mentioned. I thought about her, but I had Captain Marvel, so I didn't want to go superhero crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's also says Sarah Connor and Shoshana Dreyfus, which is a great pick. That's Shoshana from Inglourious Basterds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know you said Kill Bill, but that's a good one too. I mean, that's kind of merging 2 years together a little bit, because you mentioned Kill Bill and you mentioned Jojo Rabbit. And Shoshana is literally burning down the Nazi community in a movie theater in A Glorious Bastards. So she's, now of course it's, you know, revisionist history, but she's a great one. All right, Aaron Tucker threw a few more. He said X-23, Princess Leia, and Rey. So I agree with all of those. Let's see, Tony Vandenbush over on Twitter says Lorraine Broughton. I don't know that, I can't place who that is. Do you know who Lorraine Broughton is?
It sounds really familiar.
It sounds extremely familiar to me. And I feel like as soon as I Google it, Tony's going to be mad at me. But let me Google it real quick. I can edit this out if needed. Yeah, from Atomic Blonde. So she's talking about Lorraine Broughton from Charlize Theron in Atomic Blonde. Sorry, Tony. Jeez, that name was super familiar, though. I've only seen that movie once, and I just couldn't place it at the time. Nick Sporansky, good buddy over on the Facebook fan page, says Matilda from Leon. There you go. Syl from Species. Bridget Gregory from The Last Seduction, the bride from Kill Bill, and Lilo from The Fifth Element. And actually, I had to give Nick a little shout out, because had he not said Matilda, I would have forgotten about her, because I haven't seen that movie in so long. And I was like, yep, perfect pick. Let's see. Jon Snow over on the Facebook page has got Lisa Faust. He's surprised nobody's mentioned Lisa Faust yet, which is another one I don't know. Did you know that one? Let me look it up. Oh, wait a minute. From Mission Impossible.
Ah, okay.
So Jon Snow's got Lisa Faust from the Mission Impossible film. Patrick Sherwood has got some good ones here. He also mentioned my girl Jen from Revenge that I mentioned at my number 5. I can't remember the lady's name, but he's got one of the heroines from The Descent, which is an amazing horror movie. And he's got the heroine from, oh God. See, I hate when they put up these gifts. Patrick, why'd you do this to me? But I do love this movie. It's the heroine from Not Ready or Not, but she is a good one too. But it's a home invasion film that I love, and I can't remember the name of it for some reason. But damn it, Patrick, I love you, and I know what film you're talking about, and she is a badass movie woman for sure. Let's see what else we got here. Matt Lewinsky said Sarah Connor and Foxy Brown. Good ones. Foxy Brown's a throwback, but I like that one. Chris Brayton has got Zoe Saldana and Karen Gillian. So I think he was doing actresses as opposed to characters, but those are kick-ass women. And then the last one I'll mention, Chris Yaney over on the Facebook page says Catherine Bigelow. Now, she's a director. I guess in fairness, I should say that me and Haley were sticking to only movie characters In films, but Catherine Bigelow has got to be the female director, at least as far as a pedigree is concerned. I love her. The Hurt Locker, Zero Dark Thirty, great filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And was married to James Cameron at one time. She's doing her own thing now, though. I love her. All right, so that's it, guys. That's our top five badass movie women. Haley Gray, I want to thank you for being here. It means a lot. You were a first-timer. We were able to get through all the technical difficulties and lay this down. Where do you want to direct people? I know you were telling me because you've been out of the podcasting, like recording for a while, but you're still in the game doing some things. Where do you want to point people, sweetie?
So I just have a website called Haley Gray Research, and you can see all the podcasts that I work for. I post episodes that I worked for. I update it every month.
Okay. Yeah, so you do like podcast research for people basically, right?
Yeah.
Save them some time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Haley Gray Research. Maybe I'll have you research my next top five. It's crazy, you know? you did such a good job. I got to get on my Harry Potter homework.
Yes, you do.
Well, that's it, guys. Thank you so much for being here, Haley. I really appreciate it. And that's it for this time, guys. We'll see you guys next week with a brand new top five. So for Haley, this is Gerald signing off. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you for listening. 2Ps is an independent podcast. We rely on donations from our executive producers in order to release new content weekly. We would like to give a special thanks to all our current producers, Kathy Ross, Dan Brennick, Caleb Brownlee, Justin Esquivel, Paul Chomo, Carmen Signy, and Daniel Henderson. If you would like to become an executive producer and help us continue to release great content, please visit 2Ps on a Pod at patreon.com or check out the show notes for this episode. Again, thank you for listening.